We turn in Scripture to Proverbs 31. The well-known chapter, Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink, and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So far we read God's holy and infallible word. The text this morning is verse 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we've had 6 sermons so far in our series on dating. In our last sermon from last week's Sunday afternoon, we looked at what a godly young man looks like. And remember, we looked at the example of Boaz, and how Boaz is a beautiful example or model of what a godly young man looks like. In fact, not only is Boaz an example of the godly man, Boaz is himself a particular type and shadow of Jesus Christ, who is the kinsman redeemer and the bridegroom of his church. And Jesus, we understand, ultimately is the model which all men should be pursuing, especially If you are interested in dating and marriage and reflecting the marriage relationship that exists between Christ and the church. This morning, we turn our attention to what a godly young woman looks like. And for our scripture passage, we use the well-known chapter of Proverbs 31. Before we get into this passage, there are a few general things we should point out about Proverbs 31. I have four things to point out. First, it is very striking that Proverbs 31 contains instruction that was ultimately given by a woman. Did you notice that? The chapter starts out with King Lemuel saying that this was the instruction he received from his mother. Now, King Lemuel is commonly understood to be King Solomon. And King Solomon's mother was Bathsheba. Proverbs 31 is the instruction that Bathsheba gave to her son Solomon when he was a young man. There's two things about that that are striking. First, this instruction about what a virtuous woman looks like comes from a woman herself. This chapter doesn't contain male chauvinism or a male bias. This is not the typical male view of what a woman should be. Rather, this is the clear testimony, witness of a woman herself in Israel. This is what a woman wants her son to know. A woman who loves her son. She wants him to be a godly king in Israel. And she wants her own son to know what a godly woman looks like. She wants her son to marry well. That's where this passage comes from. And then in addition, what all this points us to is that Proverbs 31 is a chapter for men. Sometimes we think that this chapter is a chapter that women should be studying. But in fact, no, it's not just for women. Young men, men of all ages, need to study this passage. And the young man needs to study this passage because this chapter tells them what they need to be looking for in a young woman. This is the kind of woman they should be pursuing. The whole book of Proverbs is written for young men. And Proverbs 31 is written for young men too. The second thing we should point out about Proverbs 31 is that verses 10 through 31 that deal with the virtuous woman form an acrostic. And the children know what an acrostic is. Maybe you write down the word mother down the side of the page and then you write a sentence about your mother and each sentence begins with another letter from the word mother. Well, this passage on the virtuous woman is also an acrostic. Each verse starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Verse 10 starts with the letter A. Verse 11 starts with the letter B, and so on. And one of the reasons for doing that, that's not just poetry, but it's to help people memorize this poetry, this word. That too is striking. This passage of the virtuous woman was memorized by God's people. It was probably memorized both by the young men and the young women in Israel. This passage should also be memorized by parents, that they might train their daughters to be the kind of women set forth in this passage, and that they, as parents, might also train their sons to pursue after this kind of woman. The third thing we should point out about Proverbs 31 is this. Proverbs 31 is describing the woman who fears the Lord. That's significant for a few reasons. First, this passage describes what every woman in the church ought to be pursuing for herself. Every woman who fears the Lord, who confesses the name of Jesus Christ, is called by God to pattern herself after this portrait of the virtuous woman. In addition to that, what we need to recognize is that we all have but a small beginning of the new obedience. We all fall short of what we are called to be, and if we read this passage and we see this as what we are pursuing and we see how far we fall short, well, that's in a sense understood, understandable. This is what we are pursuing. And then in addition to that, what we need to recognize is this, with Jesus dwelling in our hearts, with Jesus as our head and representative, this is also how God looks upon a believing woman. In Christ, the believing woman is the virtuous woman. And in Christ, the believing woman is called to be that virtuous woman. And this is what God will perform in and through the women of the church, that more and more they reflect who this virtuous woman is. That's God's grace at work in the hearts and lives of His daughters. And the fourth thing we should point out by way of introduction is this. The women of this congregation are virtuous women. I know that and I see that for myself as a pastor. The point of this passage is not so that the women start comparing themselves with the other women of the church. No, in Christ, you are a virtuous woman. It's very striking that even in the book of Ruth, maybe we read it in Ruth 2 or in Ruth chapter 3, Ruth herself is referred to by Boaz as the virtuous woman. Think of that. Ruth, a single woman, a widow, who was dirt poor, who was brought into the church from the country of Moab, was called, in that circumstance she was in, she was called the virtuous woman by Boaz. Boaz saw the virtuous woman for who she was, despite the fact that she was unmarried, she was dirt poor. That makes no difference. Boaz saw the virtuous woman for who she was, and he knew that she would be a good woman for him to marry. And just as Ruth, so the women of this church are virtuous women in Jesus Christ. And the point of this sermon is to set before the young men the kind of woman you should seek to marry, and also to set before the young women the kind of woman you should endeavor to be. Young men, who can find a virtuous woman? She is a rare thing. But she's the woman you must seek out in dating. She's the woman you are called to marry in the Lord. So this passage is a well-known passage, but I think we can understand how it fits well in a series on dating. We take as our theme, finding a godly woman to date. And we have the same 3 points that we had last week. This time, applying them to the godly woman, her identity, her character traits, her blessedness. In Proverbs 31, we have a beautiful description of the virtuous woman. The chapter spends 22 verses describing what kind of a woman she is and how she behaves herself. But the one great characteristic that defines who she is this. She is a woman that fears the Lord. Now, strikingly, that's also the identity given to the godly man. We saw that last week. The godly man is the man who fears the Lord. And just so, the godly woman is the woman who fears the Lord. That's what being a true woman is all about. You cannot be a woman. You cannot be a wife or a mother in the true biblical sense unless you fear the Lord. Otherwise, you will just be an empty shell. Otherwise, a woman will simply use her gifts and her strengths as a woman in a way that corrupts them and that corrupts what a woman is called to be. A virtuous woman is one who fears the Lord and then uses who she is as a woman in the way that God has commanded. Young men, let me say it again. This is what you are looking for. This is what you want. This is what Solomon's own queen mother is telling him to look for. A woman who fears the Lord. Now, before we explain what that means, let's look right away at the contrast that Solomon makes in the text. Verse 30 starts out, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain." And the reason Solomon writes that, or his mother teaches him that, is because the temptation is always to prize and value favor and physical beauty above the fear of the Lord. That's the sad thing. The word favor could refer to two different things. Either it could refer to her physical form and her appearance, her shape, or it could refer to her winsome words and charming speech. The word that Solomon uses, the word favor, is most often used to refer to physical beauty. So it's probably referring here to physical beauty and the form of the woman's appearance. Solomon is talking here about a woman's outward beauty, her face, her eyes, her lips, her hair, her legs, her figure. And what Solomon says is this: this outward external beauty is two things. It is deceitful, and it is vain. Now that may seem like an overstatement. If that was just coming from pastor, you might question that, but this is in the word of the Lord. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. We should understand, Solomon is not saying that a Christian woman may not have an outward show of beauty. Solomon is not saying that it is a waste of time to care for our bodies, or that a virtuous woman is a woman who dresses herself like a slob so that she doesn't look pretty. Neither is Solomon saying that she should dress like a slob. In the passage itself, Solomon makes reference to how the virtuous woman dresses herself in beautiful clothing and in that way presents herself beautifully. What Solomon is talking about is a beauty that is not characterized by godliness, a beauty, an outward beauty that is not ruled and controlled by the fear of the Lord. What Solomon is talking about is a charm and a beauty in a merely earthly and carnal sense, a beauty that is calculated to entice men and a beauty that appeals to the flesh but not to the spirit, merely an outward form of beauty. This kind of beauty is deceitful and vain. It is deceitful because it promises happiness where there is no promise of happiness that should be given. When a man looks at a beautiful woman, the thought that goes through his mind is this: she would make me happy. I just want to look at her. Looking at her makes me happy, and if only I could have her, then I would be happy. That's the promise of her outward beauty. Maybe a man thinks to himself, just think of what this woman could do for me. She could make me happy. And if that woman were on my arm, hanging on my arm, all my friends would be impressed and they would be jealous. Even if I had just one date with such a beautiful woman, what it wouldn't do for my reputation as a man. And for one reason or another, a young man pursues after a beautiful woman. He puts beauty as the important thing. And the reality is, that man who thinks that way is being deceived. That beauty is deceiving him. Because beauty in a woman is not the same as happiness. Beauty in a woman is not the same as happiness. How many godly men, even in the Bible, were deceived by the beauty of a woman? Think of David. Think of Samson. Think of Solomon. Why are men taken in by pornography? Because physical beauty is deceptive. Why are men willing to risk their marriages and their families and even their soul for an affair with another woman? Because he's being deceived. Many young men have been tricked into a bad marriage by the deceitfulness of physical beauty and a charming personality. The sad thing is, even for women, beauty is deceitful. So that a young woman gives herself over to making herself physically beautiful because she thinks that will make her happy too. Outward beauty will get her what she desperately wants in life. But a godly young man and a godly young woman need to think, what does a woman's beauty actually tell you about that person? Does it tell you she will make a good wife? Does it tell you she will be a faithful mother? Does it tell you she will be virtuous, that she is virtuous, that she will make you happy? No. A woman's beauty doesn't really tell you anything about a woman. It just tells you that she's beautiful. Beauty is deceptive. And beauty is vain. It is empty, Solomon says. It is fleeting, here today and quite possibly gone tomorrow. And even for a young woman who takes care with her outward beauty, we need to ask, what's your purpose? What kind of a man are you trying to attract by the way you dress and by the way you put on your makeup? What is your goal? Do you want to attract that kind of man who chases after things that are vain and empty and fleeting? Or do you want to attract a man who pursues after what is enduring and lasting? A man who knows that the fear of the Lord is enduring, and that's what he pursues. Now we must say this, in the Christian woman, beauty serves a good purpose. A Christian woman uses her beauty in the service of godliness. She uses her beauty in a way that honors the Lord. And as a married woman, she uses her beauty for the benefit and enjoyment of her husband. And I think there is truth to the fact that a young man should find a woman that he can be physically attracted to. That is good for a young man. Christ Jesus makes his bride beautiful. But the reality is also this. When a young man gazes into a woman's heart and he finds in her heart the fear of the Lord, the result is that he will also look at her face and see beauty and loveliness there on her face as well. These are the eyes of one who fears the Lord. These are the hands. This is the body of one who serves the Lord. This is the daughter of the King, and as such, she is beautiful in my eyes. There is a beauty that covers up the beauty of holiness, and there is also a beauty that accentuates and reflects the beauty of holiness. And the point of Proverbs 31 is to put before the young men the virtues of a godly woman in contrast to the deception of a vain, empty, deceitful woman. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but there is also the woman that fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord, that's true beauty. Like we said last time, the fear of the Lord involves three things. A woman who fears the Lord is characterized by three things. First, she knows the Lord. She knows Him as her Creator, she stands in awe of Him as her Maker, and she knows Him as her Redeemer, her Savior. She's a woman who knows who she is as a sinner saved by grace. She knows her sins. She knows Jesus' death on the cross and what it accomplished for her. She knows the forgiveness of her sins. She knows the Holy Spirit is at work in her heart. She knows that she is the elect and regenerated child of God. She knows her worth in Jesus Christ, that she's been purchased with nothing less than the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's how much God Himself values her, and she knows that God is worthy of all her love, all her praise, and all her devotion. So first, she knows the Lord. And second, she loves the Lord. She calls Him Father. She is intimate with Him in her prayer life. She trusts Him as her Father. She follows where He leads. She has a personal relationship of love with her Lord. She knows the Lord. She loves the Lord. And she desires to please the Lord. She desires to please the Lord in exactly this way, in fulfilling the calling that He has given her as a woman. She wants to honor the Lord with her femininity and her womanly gifts and strengths. She wants to be also a steward of her beauty for the Lord's sake. She studies God's Word. She knows it. And she rejoices in everything it says about who she is as a daughter of God. This is the godly woman's identity. This is the godly woman's beauty. She is the object of God's grace. Her heart is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. That's her beauty. A godly woman's identity and beauty is not found in her outward appearance, but in a heart filled with love for God, who trusts God, who commits herself unto God with a meek and quiet spirit, and submits to God's will for her as a woman. That's the grace of God at work in her, shaping her and forming her to be a woman after His own heart. That woman is special. That woman is rare. That's not the kind of woman you find in the world. It's not the kind of woman you find, I think I can safely say it, on the magazines, in the grocery store. This woman is different. She doesn't conform to the standards and pressures of the world around her. We can even say this, even the ungodly men of the world will not feel comfortable around this woman and her beauty. Think about that. Because the men of the world, they only care for outward beauty. Or maybe they even want a woman who is independent, a career woman. She's successful in her own things. She's got her own things going on. That's what is presented as attractive in the world around us. Because a woman like that sounds like she must be pretty smart or successful or talented. And that becomes the standard then for men and women. No, the godly woman is different. This is her identity. She fears the Lord, and that beauty radiates from her. Godly men see it and know it and are attracted to it as a sister in Christ, from a brother in Christ, and the ungodly are not attracted to it. It radiates like the light of God's glory. But this fear of the Lord comes out in her character traits. In Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman is described by how she behaves and how she occupies herself. And all these character traits are the outflowing of the fear of the Lord in her heart. What are the character traits of the woman who fears the Lord? I think there's one main character trait that is emphasized in Proverbs 31. And that is this. She is a woman who is obedient to God's will for her as a woman. She's obedient to God's will for her as a woman. And specifically, she is a woman who serves as her husband's helper. Notice the woman of Proverbs 31. She is a woman who is married and who has children. Now we know not all women are given these callings. Ruth herself, we saw last week, was a widow and did not have any children. Not all women get married. Not all women have children. But the point is this. The virtuous woman is the one who's obedient to God's will for her as a woman. This woman in Proverbs 31, she has gotten married. She has had children. She has not rebelled and resisted against these things. But rather, in fact, now that she is married, now that the Lord has given her children, she gives herself over to the caring of her husband and the caring of her children. I think that's very important for us to see and recognize in Proverbs 31. This is fundamental for understanding this chapter. This is the difference between the one who reads Proverbs 31 honestly and the modern woman today who twists Proverbs 31 for her own ungodly purposes. And you see that happening. Maybe when we first read Proverbs 31, we are simply struck by how busy this woman is. She is characterized by industry. She wakes up before her servants wake up. Her candle continues to burn late into the night. She's buying land. She's selling her goods. She's so capable. Now that's all true, but that's not the ultimate point of the passage. Rather, what we must see is that this woman is waking up early. She's going to bed late and she's doing everything else in the service of the home and the family that God has given her. She's gotten married. She's had children, and now she lives having her husband's interests and her husband's name and reputation at heart. And she's laboring for the good of her children. That's her virtue. Her virtue isn't simply that she's industrious. Her virtue isn't simply how gifted she is or how capable she is. No, but her virtue is that she's doing all of this in obedience to the Lord's will for her as a woman, as a wife, and as a mother. That's the heart of these 22 verses. We can say that's how this whole passage is framed. King Lemuel, my son, This is what a virtuous woman looks like. She's a woman who will help you. She will be your suitable helper. That's the woman you, my son, must marry. Notice how the passage starts. Notice verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. That's how the passage begins. That's the starting point. That's the banner. This husband doesn't need to look elsewhere. He doesn't need to seek after the spoils of warfare. He doesn't need something else in his life as a hobby for him. He has a good wife who helps him. And he is satisfied in her. And she satisfies him. She lives to be his helper in a God-honoring way. She fears the Lord. Notice verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's the heart of the passage. That's why Bathsheba is teaching these things to her son. What do the next verses then describe? They don't just describe how busy this woman is, but they describe how this woman is busy doing her husband and her children good. That's the point. She's a homemaker. That's how she does her husband good. That's her virtue. That's her way of fearing the Lord. All her industry is home and family oriented. Verse 27 says, she looketh well to the ways of her household. She understands that just as it is her husband's duty to go out and work and be the breadwinner, so it is also her duty to be a keeper at home. And she gives that calling her strength. She sees to it that the direction of her home is not towards the world, not towards materialism, not towards uncleanness or ungodliness or disrespect. But she sees to it that the direction of her home is towards the Lord. And then she also has the support of her husband in her calling as she pursues the fear of the Lord in her calling. This is also why her husband can safely trust in her and why he can sit as an elder at the gate of the city. He's a leader in the church, and the reason he can be a leader is because his wife was also a suitable helper. She's not taking away from her husband's reputation, but she even adds to her husband's reputation. Even in that way, she is her husband's helper. Why does she go out and buy a field? Not because she's a realtor. Not because she's got a career. She's one who wants to be outside of the home buying and selling property. Not because she has her own thing going on. She buys a piece of land because she wants to plant a garden. That's the second half of the verse. To further serve for her family's health and happiness. Why does she sell her goods to the merchants? Not because she's an entrepreneur, she's a businesswoman who wants to work out of the house, or that she wants to be away from the children for a while. But she sells her wares to the merchants because she has so given herself over to her calling as a homemaker that she's got more than her own family needs. So she sells the extras to the merchants, who then go and sell them in the marketplace for her. This is how the fear of the Lord comes to her expression. This is the virtuous woman. She's a helper at home. She makes abundant and faithful use of her husband's resources. So just as a godly man is one who is characterized by servant leadership, laying down his life for his wife, providing for his wife, nurturing and protecting his wife, living for her in a very real way, so a godly woman is also characterized by being that suitable helper to her husband. As a wedding message recently put it, they submit to each other in the fear of the Lord, and they are blessed mutually as they serve and help each other and live with each other that way. Now, this is also how parents can talk to their daughters. I think this is very practical in our society today. So often the conversation can go like this. My daughter, what do you want to be when you grow up? A nurse, a hairdresser, a designer, a realtor? A better question would be, my daughter, how are you going to help your husband when you get married? Not in a demeaning way, but in an honest way, recognizing that this is what the woman was made for. If you want your daughter to get married and establish a godly home, maybe you have other purposes for your daughter. If you want your daughter to get married and establish a godly home, That's the more logical question to ask. Maybe if a young woman believes she has the gift of singleness and is called to use that gift, then by all means, prepare yourself for that. But my point is this. If parents want their daughters to get married, they should prepare them for being suitable helpers for their future husbands. This is the virtuous woman. She fulfills the role God has made for her. She's a suitable helper to her husband. She's committed to him. And all kinds of blessings flow to him and to the church also because of the Spirit of the Lord working in her heart. That's the kind of woman that the queen wants for her prince. When a man finds that kind of woman, he's obtained a special favor from the Lord. So that's the first character trait, and it's basic. She's a woman who's obedient to God's will for her as a woman, and she strives to be a suitable helper. She's a faithful wife and mother. And now, when you have that quality, then there are all other kinds of qualities that come with it. She cares for the poor. She's a caring woman. She cares for her husband. She cares for her children. And then, overflowing from that, she cares for the poor. Her love for others keeps her busy in family and in church and with caring for the needs of others. She's not bored at home. She's busy. She has much to do as a housewife and a mother in Zion. She even wakes up before her servants. She's got servants. And look at how busy she still is. She's caring. She's wise. She knows how to spend the money. She's wise. She's frugal. She's kind. She doesn't use her words to tear down, but to build up. She's strong. Strength and honor are her clothing. She's upright. She's pure in her thoughts. She commands respect by her strength and her honor. She's not obsessed with her beauty, but she fears the Lord. She's a woman who walks in the realm of truth. She can think clearly and she acts according to the truth. And then she uses her strength and her beauty and all her gifts in humble devotion and service to her family in her selfless sacrifice for others. Clearly, this woman loves the church. She's glad to give to the kingdom causes of her time and of her efforts with the gifts she's been given. That's what is precious in the sight of the Lord. This woman knows from God's word her place in the home and in the church, and she's happy and content there. And for this reason, she is most honorable and respected. And then you see how this passage of Scripture fits with everything else that the Bible has to say about the calling of a wife and a mother. According to her gifts, she serves the Lord this way, and her husband encourages her to serve the Lord this way. This is the Holy Spirit at work in the hearts and lives of the women of the congregation, whether they are single or married. And if a man is wise, he will search out for such a virtuous woman and even lay down his life for such a woman. Her price is far above rubies. And you can tell that her price is far above rubies simply by asking this question. What happens when a wife is not God-fearing? We see that sometimes, don't we? What happens when a wife is not faithful? What happens when a wife abandons her children? What do you see? The home is destroyed. The children are gobbled up by Satan. You don't see them anymore. There's uproar and confusion. That's what happens. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Young men, receive the word of the Lord to you this morning. Young men, you have virtuous mothers. Recognize them for what they are. Praise them and value their own godliness and pursue it in the woman you seek to marry. Fathers, teach your sons that they should marry as you have married. To marry a woman that fears the Lord and devotes herself to her husband and family. And young woman, if you want to attract the attention of a godly young man, show yourself, like Ruth did, to be a virtuous woman devoted to the Lord. Such a woman will also be blessed. She will be happy. She will be blessed. She will be praised, the passage says. Her godly children will praise her. Her godly husband will praise her. He will praise her in front of the children. He will praise her privately. He will make her blessed. He will make her happy by his own words of praise and love and thankfulness. The whole city will see her family, and they will praise her. Her husband's good and godly reputation in the church will be to her own praise. Because the reality is, his gifts and abilities as a man are largely due to her faithfulness and godliness in the home and marriage. He is able to sit in the gates because she is faithful as a suitable helper. The poor will praise her. Simply ask yourself this question. Do the poor, the needy, praise the virtuous women in this church? The widows will praise her. The orphans will praise her. God will praise that woman. She will be blessed. She will know that the favor of the Lord is upon her. She will be happy because she knows her labors are not in vain in the Lord. She's doing the Lord's will, and that's what makes her happy. Young men, let me point out one more thing. It's striking that in all of Proverbs 31, no mention is made of the appearance or the physical beauty of this virtuous woman. No mention of that. It talks about her clothing, how she dresses herself, but her beauty is spiritual. Young men, prize that spiritual beauty. And start here. Start by learning to recognize it in your own mother. Look up to your own godly, strong, and honorable mother. And praise your mother and see the spiritual beauty of your own mother. As young men, do it. Recognize her wisdom. Recognize her strength. Recognize her honor. Recognize how deep her trust in the Lord is as a woman and her vulnerable calling to be a wife, trusting the Lord as she strives to live with a meek and quiet spirit. Recognize all these things and pray to the Lord that He would give you a wife with that same kind of spiritual beauty. Start there, young men. Start there, boys. Learn to respect and honor your own godly mother in her work as a godly wife and mother. That's where it starts. After all, how can a young woman expect you to praise her and treat her properly if you cannot even praise your own mother and show proper love to your own virtuous mother? Congregation, let us praise the godly women in our lives. Let us thank God for the gifts He has given us. Let us praise God for the beauty He works in the hearts of the women of this congregation. After all, we recognize this is His work. This is His work too. Let us praise God for the godly women He has given us, whether they be single or married. And then let us also praise God for the forgiveness found in Jesus Christ and the grace He gives each day to pursue His calling and His will for our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that the virtuous woman might be praised and highly esteemed here in this congregation. We pray that she might be valued by the husband that Thou hast given her, that he might be humbled by the favor that Thou hast shown him. May she also be valued and praised by the covenant children, that they might appreciate and see all the sacrifices, all the work, and tireless labors, and tiring labors often, that she does on their behalf for their spiritual good and their upbringing. Father, where would we be? Where would the church be without godly mothers and wives and women in Zion? Bless us as young men that we might have our priorities straightened, that we might value what thou dost present before us as praiseworthy and valuable. Give us spiritual maturity to see with the eyes of faith. Bless us with godly marriages for Jesus Christ and His church, and that relationship is faithfully reflected. Forgive our sins, Lord. Bless us preaching to our spiritual happiness and to the glory of thy holy name. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen.